Hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. Great to have you all with us. And today, Terry, it is really good to have you with me today. You may not know Terry particularly well, but here's the one thing that you need to know about Terry is she has prayed for you. Terry, you are a person of prayer. Thank you for joining. We want to talk about prayer today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Had a wonderful evening on Tuesday night.
Excellent. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim did a fantastic job. We were talking about the prayer gathering. If you missed it and want to join us, we will be having another one in the future. So we just want to encourage you for that. Terry, you were someone who, when we were talking about this, you talked about this hungering and thirsting for more of God. And I know prayer has played a significant part in that for you. Could you maybe just talk to us a little bit about your journey of prayer, sort of from your early days as a Christ follower to today?
I would love to. I guess when I became a believer, like a lot of folks, I came out of a very bad place, a very dark, unhappy okay. place. So it was just a delight for me to find answers to all of my pain and all of that. And I just embraced everything Jesus. And very fortunately, I was in a solid Bible-believing church and very warm, loving people, etc. So I was like the duck that imprints, you know, on the first thing it sees. And every, you know, new or believer that I saw, I wanted to be like them. And I wanted to be like them. And I wanted to be like them.
Okay.
And so as they prayed, that's how I prayed. And for the most part, I mean, that was, you know, relatively good stuff.
Yeah.
But over a period of time, I must inject this one little thing.
Yeah.
There was one point when I was praying and we'd had some special service at church and I got down on my knees and I just did that.
Okay.
And an older lady in the congregation, very sweet, came up to me and patted me on the shoulder and said, "Don't worry, dear, you'll get over doing things like this as you get older in the faith."
Oh.
And I thought, oh, so, you know, this may not be a good thing to be kneeling. It seemed odd, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, as time went by, I began to notice that there were some believers in that body that were people who prayed like they knew God face to face, like, and their prayers were so intimate and with great expectation and confidence and power, and praying with them helped me to start also praying with some more confidence. So that was a very good thing. But then I met someone who prayed nothing but scripture.
Okay.
She only prayed scripture. And as radical as that was, again, you know, imprinting, I'm like, this is new. I'll do this, you know. And as soon as I started doing that, memorizing scripture and just praying pretty much scripture, I found that in every prayer situation, you know, the Holy Spirit brought scripture to me for appropriate to that.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but if you're in a difficult situation and someone says, you know, well, you know, Lindsay, we'll pray that it'll get better for you and it'll be okay. That's nice.
It is, yeah.
But if they say, Lindsay, remember the Lord's your shepherd and he's your high tower. And if you run into him, you'll be saved. Well, doesn't that just go right to your spirit and minister with power? And it's like a reminder, that's right, God's, you know, with me.
Yeah.
And I decided after hearing that kind of prayer, that's the way I wanted to pray.
Yeah.
So that's sort of my journey to that
point. Yeah, so you were, one of the things you said, I asked you, how could we encourage people to want to pray more, to discover more about prayer?
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of alluded to it, but one of the things you said was hang out with people who pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The best way, at least for me, to do things is to learn by doing, right?
Okay. Yep.
And so when you hang out with people who pray and pray out loud.
Right.
Right? This is important.
Often,
of course, we all pray, but out loud is important. That builds your confidence as well.
Yeah.
And we've got so many opportunities to do that at Saanich, you know, whether it's the wonderful prayer evenings that we've had or microchurches, Wednesday morning Zoom calls, which would be fantastic for more people to join the the staff on that on Wednesdays. Lots of chances.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, let me just jump in there. Let's hit the website under prayer. There are all kinds of listings. There's prayer teams and things like that. So I actually, when you and I were talking about this, I'd said, you know, I actually invited someone out to the Tuesday evening prayer time. And I said to this person, I said, you know, it's probably going to be a little bit outside of your comfort zone. You know, like you may not feel comfortable praying out loud because there's lots of opportunity for that. But I said, just being around some people who pray could be really, really good.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about, like, it seems like some people probably have the gift of intercession and maybe other people don't. And you and I agreed on that's probably true.
Yes.
However, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't maybe learn how to pray more. And you quoted Steve, you at least have, you know, Terry's listening. Okay. And she said, you know, Steve mentioned recently, right feelings don't lead to right actions. Right actions lead to right feelings.
Yeah.
How does that play out in our hungering and thirsting for more of God?
Well, it's all about obedience. And so, you know, we're meant to model ourselves on Jesus, who always talked to the Father about everything that he did and did what the Father said. And so we know that if we're going to be like Jesus, then we need to be communicating with God.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we don't have that burning passion to do that, but you know, we know maybe we ought to.
Hmm.
So I've always found it really helpful just to ask God to make me willing to be willing.
Hmm.
And maybe there's another willing after that, right? Because it's like, do I really want this? But as soon as you ask God to make you willing to be willing, I mean, he's all over that.
Yeah.
And I've seen again and again where I've seen some really dramatic instances where people who were like, I'm never going up, whatever.
Yeah.
And you kind of challenge them, well, you know, would you be willing to be willing?
Mm.
Well, all right. They pray that prayer and just amazing things happen.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
That kind of obedience.
So what I hear is we're kind of linking up with God's desire for us by asking him to continue to fuel that desire. Yeah. Terry, for those who are listening in, and also for me, it's kind of hard to believe something that you told me off camera, which is you used to struggle with prayer. Like, it was hard. You were shy.
Mm-hmm.
But you've discovered some things over the years that you've put into practice sort of in your private time that's mm-hmm. helped you as you've gathered with others.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just amazing if you spend in your private prayer time kind of pushing the envelope a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe you've listened to some music or whatever and you're feeling charged up and you're praying about something serious. Get up and pace around while you pray.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling, you know, overflowing with gratitude, put your hands up and thank God while you pray. It's very freeing, for one thing.
Yeah.
It also, faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. And if you're already praying some scripture, which hopefully, you know, you're starting to pray some scripture.
Nice, yeah.
Then you're hearing scripture. Your faith is increased. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
Praying out loud also, it kind of implicitly suggests that God is in that chair listening to you.
Yeah.
And so then all of that makes it way easier when you're with a group of people to open your mouth and pray.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Lots of ideas. Terry, thanks so much for being such a prayer warrior for us as a church on our behalf. We appreciate that. Thanks for being with us. We know this isn't your favorite spot to be.
No.
Everybody, thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Lindsay, it's you again.
Yes, it's me again.
What do you got?
Thanks, Kim. We've got an employment opportunity. We got a full-time opportunity in our office for reception. If you are looking for something like that, we encourage you to hit our website, and there's an employment opportunity tab there, and you can check out that job description. Love to have you join us.
Come work with us.
That was horrible.
Lindsay, you're supposed to jump. Let's do that again. One more time.
All right.
One, two, three.
Wow, Lindsay, you're suddenly looking so much better. Just kidding. It's Christina. What do you got for us?
A couple announcements. The first one is a call out to anyone who's had a child in the last few years. I think these last couple years of COVID have just reminded all of us that it takes a village to raise up a child. And so we want to give parents an opportunity to acknowledge in front of their church family that their child is a gift from God, and then give our church the opportunity to commit to walking alongside parents and raising their children. So if you're interested in dedicating your child, I invite you to reach out to the office at office@sandwichbaptist.org.
Nice, yeah. I love baby dedications. And it's crazy because now babies that were babies are children.
Babies, yeah.
So let's celebrate with families. What else you got?
So we've been exploring smaller expressions of the church. So groups of people living in community and living on mission together. So if you are interested in hearing more about microchurches, if you have questions, we invite you out to an info night that we are going to be having on Wednesday, April 6th at 7 o'clock p.m. at our Wilkinson Road campus. And you can register for that event on our website.
Awesome. Lots of stuff going on. If you have any questions or you're wondering what's up, go to our website. Everything you need to know is there. See you next time.
Can we just give like Lindsay Anderson and Christina Honecker just a round of applause for being such good sports when I come up with like weird ideas that I saw like on TikTok or the internet, and I'm like, hey, let's do this thing. And they just are so gracious in being silly with me. So thanks for being here, whether you're here in a seat or whether you're here on our live stream. We're so glad that you've joined us. We're happy to be able to worship together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwunga people. If you're here in the room, I'd love to invite you to stand if you're able. I'm going to start with this call to worship. It says this: return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. Confess to the Lord your God. Allow him to search your heart, for he is merciful. Praise the Lord your God. Sing praises to him, for he abounds in steadfast love. Worship the Lord with gladness. Together, let's worship our God. So let's do that. We're going to sing Your Love Awakens Me.
You called my name and then my heart came alive.
love is greater and stronger. Yes? Yes. Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. So go praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Then on the third at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Turn in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Together. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise you. We thank you for the story of your son who came to earth as a man, who sacrificed his life, who died on a cross, but where death did not stop him or hold him down. We thank you for the hope that we have in his resurrection, that as he was raised to life, one day we too will experience that same resurrection. We will see the fullness of your kingdom, and we will bask in your presence. And so here now on earth, we sing your praise, we praise your name, and we look forward to eternity, where we will just continue again and again to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." So yeah, we worship you, we give you praise, and we pray these things in your holy name. Amen. Well, I invite you to take a seat. Steve's got a couple announcements, and you're going to dismiss the kids, or am I going to dismiss the kids?
Go ahead.
I'm going to dismiss the kids.
Go ahead.
Because Shyla's in the back, and she is waiting.
I know you're just dying to do it.
The kids are, like, super excited to go and worship and learn together upstairs. So, kids, you could go head to the back now and find Shyla.
All right. Well, good to have you here this morning. It is so good to see some faces I haven't seen for a while. It is good for the church to be together. I'll tell you what, after 2 years, it's good to be in this room and hear people singing along with me. So it is so good to have you here this morning. If you're visiting, maybe this is your first time here. If you are visiting, I really want to encourage you after the service to go back to the fireside room. Lindsay Anderson, who's going to come and read scripture here in a minute, he'll be back there just to greet you for a few minutes after the service. If you're new this morning, really want to welcome you to our church. And just a couple of highlight announcements I want to mention, then Lindsay's going to come, read scripture, pray, and then we'll get into God's word together. But, you know, it was just mentioned on the screen that Christina and Kim were talking about microchurches, and really part of our vision here as we move into a post-COVID time, part of our post-COVID vision is to be a church that exists as a network of microchurches scattered across Greater Victoria and beyond. And currently, we have 14 microchurches. That includes the 2 new microchurches that started this past week. And if you're interested in leaning or joining or just finding out more about microchurches, I want to encourage you to come to the microchurch information meeting. And if you can't make that night, just send an email to office@sanagebaptist.org, and Lindsay or Christina will be in contact with you. One more announcement. This summer, the Crons, Jeremy and Leah Cron, and 2 of their 3 children are from our church, and they are missionaries currently in Kampala, Uganda, with African Inland Mission, and they're moving back to Victoria to live this summer, and we're excited about that. And as you can imagine, after being in Africa for many years and coming here to Victoria, it's like starting all over again as you resettle here. And they have lots of needs, and I'm really happy to say Brad and Patricia Worsfold are sort of spearheading their resettling from this end. Thank you, Brad and Patricia, for doing that. And the biggest need the Crons have right now is finding a home to rent. And if you know of anything available in August that would work for them, I really want to encourage you to send us an email at office@sanagebaptist.org, or call the church, and we will forward that on to Brad and Patricia, and they can get you involved with the Crons. Also, the Crons have posted a list of some household items they need. And again, if you're interested in helping out in any way, just fire us an email and we'll forward it over to Brad and Patricia, and they'll be in contact with you. Lindsay, come and read scripture and pray for us.
Thanks, Steve. And actually, for those of you who are in the house this morning and you received a program as you came in, that information of Brad and Patricia is right in the program for you, and you can just email straight to them if you want, and cut out the middleman if you'd like. But we're happy to help you as well with that. Well, as you may be aware and remember, as we entered into this new year, we've started and implemented that we're reading a reading from the church calendar, the historic church calendar. And they
They have different readings and different opportunities. Today we're going to be looking at Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. It says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls." Let me just pray. Father, as we opened up this service, and even as Steve just did now, we were welcoming people into this place and this space and this time. And we're grateful to have others with us, and yet we're also truly grateful that you are with us. And so as we spend this time now around your story, your words, your dream, your hope, God, might you reach in, do something in our heart and our soul this morning. Touch us, Spirit of God. Don't let us leave here quite the same as when we arrived. So we pray for Steve. God, just anoint him as he speaks to us this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And just as he comes forward, if you didn't grab a communion element as you came in this morning, you can go to the back and grab those and be prepared for communion after the service.
And I'm looking forward to the day.
You sure are. Yeah.
When we can use real bread instead of styrofoam again.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing a series right now called Do It Again, and we're looking at the whole idea of revival. And let me ask you this morning, do you desire to regularly experience the presence of God in your life? Do you desire to be used by God in some way? Do you desire to be part of a great move of God as we move into this post-COVID world? Are you wanting to say, God, do it again? Like you did in the book of Acts, like you did in the early church, God, do it again. Last week we looked at prayer and the fact that there has never been a great move of God without prayer. Prayer is a prerequisite to God moving in powerful ways. And thus we need to be people individually and corporately who pray bold, risky kingdom prayers. There's something else that is key to seeing a great move of God, and that is the rooting out of sin, both personally and corporately. Confession and repentance are always, always on the front end of a move of God. And while it's not a comfortable topic to talk about, it is something we need to talk about. Sin, confession, repentance need to be addressed if we want to see God move in powerful ways. And the period of Lent is really a good time to address the topic of sin and forgiveness. Just a reminder for you, Lent is 40 days, not including Sundays, from Ash Wednesday to Easter Saturday. And Lent is meant to be a time of reflection that prepares people's hearts and minds for Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And traditionally, there are three things that people focus on during Lent: fasting, giving to those in need, and prayer. And prayer during Lent is often focused on confession and our need for God's forgiveness. And that's what we're going to focus on today. A little while ago, I was reading through the book of Acts, and of course, if we talk about revival, that's a great place to look at how God has moved in the beginning of the church. And I was reading in Acts 2, and I was particularly focused on the middle of Acts 2, and before the middle of Acts 2, at the beginning of Acts 2, you probably know if you've been in church for a while, that the Holy Spirit had been poured out. And amazing things were happening, and people were asking, what does all of this mean? They were hearing people speak in their own languages, and they were going, what is going on here? And so Peter stood, and he addressed the crowd. And let me start reading in Acts 2, verse 14. This is what Peter said to everything that had been going on. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. No, it's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. At the beginning, Peter says there, in the last days. And the last days in the Bible are those days between the time Jesus rose from the dead and when he comes back. We are living in the last days. And Peter says, in these last days, God is going to pour out his spirit. People will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. And there will be signs and wonders. Now, those words are not original to Peter. You probably realize that after you hear Lindsay read scripture this morning. Verse 17 to 21 are taken from Joel 2. And so I went back to the Old Testament book of Joel and I read the original prophecy, which again, Lindsay read for us. But let me read you verse 28 of Joel 2 again. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Notice verse 28 starts with the phrase, and afterward. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit. So what comes before the outpouring of the spirit? Well, if you read all of Joel 2, you will discover the chapter begins with a prophecy of judgment. The people had sinned. And they had wandered from God, and now they were going to suffer the consequences of their sin. God said judgment was coming. Let's pick it up in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. To ward off judgment, the people needed to return to God with a repentant heart. Now please see this, so important to understand. Even though Joel has heard God speak a message of impending judgment, Joel knows that isn't what God wants to do. God doesn't want to bring judgment. He never wants to bring judgment. God desires to have a loving relationship with people. And Joel knows it's the heart of God to bless people, not to judge them. So he says, return to the Lord your God. Notice what he says about God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. And then in verse 13, Joel tells the people, rend your heart, not your garments. Now, the word render in the Hebrew, in which the Old Testament was originally written, means to split, to tear, to rip open. To rend one's garments was an ancient custom that signaled intense grief or repentance. In the Old Testament times, often when people would repent of their sin, they would literally tear their garments open as a sign of remorse and sorrow from their sin. But what was happening in Joel's day is people were performing the ritual of tearing their clothing without deep remorse for their sin. It was all an external act. There was nothing internal. They were ripping their garments because everyone else was ripping their garments. It was a thing to do, but there was no deep remorse on the inside. It was all show on the outside. And here Joel is saying, listen, God doesn't want us to rip our clothes. He doesn't want us to rip open our, he wants us, sorry, to rip open our hearts. He wants us to tear our hearts open before him. Now, we're not talking about our literal hearts here, right? We all got that. Like, don't go home, rip your heart out. Here, no, you wouldn't get to here probably, but not a good idea. In the Bible, the heart is the core of who you are as a person. It's your will, your mind, your emotions, your soul, if you will. And Joel was calling the people to rend their hearts, their souls before God, to come before God with a broken and a contrite and open heart. Listen, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to rend our hearts? Are we willing to come before God with broken, open hearts? Are you willing to do that? Joel says, rend your hearts before God. Come before God with an open, broken heart. And when we do that, the next thing we need to do is we need to let God search our hearts. We need to rend our hearts. We need to open our hearts and then let God search them. It says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me read that again. That is such a great couple of verses. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David here, the psalmist, specifically asked God to search him and to know his heart. To know his anxious thoughts and to see if there's any offensive or sinful ways in him. What if you did that? What if you set aside some time and prayed those two verses back to God? Laying your life open before the Lord and asking him to shine his spotlight into your heart. Rendering your heart before God, opening your life before God, and saying, God, search me. Asking him to point out anything in you that is displeasing to him. And then just sitting and listening and letting God speak to you. Would you be willing to do that? That can be a very hard thing to do because our pride wants us to hide and manage and spin and soften our sin. Pride keeps us from responding to God as we should. It makes us want to look better than we really are. It stops us from dealing with our sin. But listen, there's a cost to letting pride stop us from dealing with our sin. Not only does it block personal and corporate revival, it kills our joy. Nothing sucks the life out of you like unconfessed sin. Listen to what the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 32. And the context here is David had unconfessed sin in his life, and that unconfessed sin was impacting his life. He says in Psalm 32, when I kept silent, in other words, when I did not confess my sin to God, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. If we want to experience a greater sense of the Spirit's presence in our lives, if you want to experience wholeness and joy in your life, then we need to ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and not just reveal to us our sins, but also convict us of our sins. Too many people today know they're doing sinful things, know they're living in sinful ways, but they know it's sin, but they don't care. And I'm talking about churchgoers, not non-church people. We need to ask the Holy Spirit not only to search our hearts, but to convict us. And once the Holy Spirit does that, we need to confess. In other words, we need to do three things. Here they are. Number one, we need to admit our sin. As you rend your heart before God and you open your life before God and you ask Him to search you and see what is in there and to convict you of any sin, when He does that, you need to then admit your sin. And again, we are so good today at covering up, denying, excusing, blaming, and justifying our sin. And listen, we need to stop doing that. We need to start owning and naming our sin. We need to stop covering up, stop denying, stop excusing, stop blaming, stop justifying. Just name it and own it. Identify sin as sin. And I'll say to you this morning, for some of you, it's time to come clean. It's time for you to be honest with yourself and your God and others about the sin in your life. Because for some of you, it's destroying your relationships. For some of you, it's sucking the joy out of your life. It's time to come clean. First thing is you need to admit it. Second thing is you need to confess it. And the word confess simply means to agree with God. When we confess our sin before God, what we're doing is simply saying about our sin what God says about our sin. That it's not okay. That we need to confess it before Him. We need to bring it to Him and say, God, we agree. That what I was doing, or I agree, that what I was doing was wrong in your eyes. And you see it as sin, and so I see it as sin, and I bring it to you. Now, getting rid of unconfessed sin by confessing our sin to God can be a little bit like throwing up when your stomach is churning. Ever had that experience? You know, you got your stomach, you're not feeling well, and you know the best thing you could do is throw up, but you really don't want to throw up. But when you do throw up, it feels much better. You ever experienced that? All right, once again, I'm the only person in the room that's ever experienced that. But here's the deal. When we confess our sin, new life can flow into us. We can experience deep freedom. The weight can be lifted from us. And we can know the deep reality of God's forgiveness deep into our souls. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, that's God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me take you back to Psalm 32 for a minute. Verse 5, it says this, then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Can't you just feel the weight being lifted off David? One moment he's groaning and he's not doing well and he's joyless and he's experienced physical symptoms of his sin. But then he says, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I confess my transgressions and you forgave my guilt. One of the keys in returning to God and experiencing revival is honest confession. And then third, we need to repent. Admit, confess, repent. And repent just means to turn away from, to change your mind, your perspective, your motivation, your orientation. And in light of what we're talking about, it means turning away from your sin and turning towards Jesus and seeking to walk with him. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But maybe there's a prevailing sin in your life that's impacting your life in a hugely negative way. You need to admit that, you need to confess that, and then you need to turn from that. And what does turning from your sin look like for you? Maybe it means not just confessing it to God, but confessing it to someone else and becoming accountable. Maybe it means getting some help. I don't know what it means, but we need to turn. You can get in a cycle of, God, I'm forgiven. Sorry for my sin, but if you don't turn away from it, you'll just keep repeating it. And it becomes this endless cycle. Sin, confess. Sin, confess. You need to turn and go to the cross and then say, what does turning mean for me, Jesus? What do I need to do to be free? Joshua told the people in Joshua 3:5, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm claiming that verse for this church. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. And so today we're going to take communion. And what we're going to do, first of all, before we dive into communion, and we're going to take some moments of silence here, is we're going to read Psalm 51 responsively. It's a great song. And so I'm going to start the psalm out. And then when the verse 3 comes up, it'll say, for I know my transgressions, it'll be in a different color. That's for you to read, all right? So I'll start verse 1, 2, you go 3. Whenever it's a different color than white, you read, I'll read the white parts. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. For I will teach transgressors your way, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, for you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. Amen. Let's pray together for a minute. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. I want you just to take a minute or two, I'm going to give you in silence, just to bring before God this morning what you need to bring before him, what you need to confess him, and then we will take the bread together. So in silence, let God search your heart for this minute, and maybe there's sin you need to bring before him. Do that in these moments. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Let's take the bread together. David wrote in Psalm 139, again, let me read these amazing words. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I want us to take a few moments, each one of us, just to ask God to shine his spotlight into our hearts. And before we take the cup, let's ask him to point out anything in us, anything that is displeasing to him. And I pray in these moments as we do this in silence that you will have an attentive voice to what the Spirit wants to say to you. Let's just take a few moments of silence again. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take the cup as an act of worship together. Amen. Let's finish our time of communion together by, in unison, saying the Lord's Prayer, and then Kim will come and lead us in a closing song or two. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Well, I invite you to stand as we respond to communion and to the word that Steve has brought us. We're going to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you death could not hold you. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You sighed. Yeah.
God, thank you so much for answering our prayer today and meeting with us. Meeting with us as we heard your story, your word, your heart for us to be able to live out your joy, to live out your story, to live out your grace. You offered it to us and we can live it out before others. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, amen. It's so good to have been with you this morning. If you are in need of prayer, there will be people at the front who would love to pray with you. If you maybe are wanting to connect new here and you'd just like to meet me, I'd love to help you maybe get more connected here at SBC. I'll be at the back. For those of you who are online, you can hit us up on the connect button on the website there and reach out to us, and we will definitely get back to you. You may have come prepared to worship God by giving. The way we're doing that in this season is either online or there are baskets, trays. They're not baskets, they're not trays. They're, I don't know what they are, offering plates. They're wooden plates is where I was going. Thank you so much to the front row right there. That's awesome. Yeah, you can do that as you leave. Benediction this morning is Romans chapter 8, verse 38. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing, living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic week. See you.